warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with David Niles. We have a full house for the studio this evening.
Have we ever had this many people in here?
That's a good question. I don't
know that we have had this many people in the studio, and it is full.
Right. I mean, had another guy, we could probably put him over there in the corner, but
make him stand.
There's closet space over there.
Yeah.
There's nothing. You're not going to be able to get in that closet. That is a full closet.
That is true, actually. So don't open
that
closet.
Don't even open it. It'll fall. Stuff will fall. Anyway, Dave, I'll let you introduce our guest.
Okay, so
I'm going to introduce the other person.
The voice that you're hearing is none other than the Father Sean O'Brien.
Howdy.
Do not to be confused with Father Brian O'Brien, who we've had on the show. Another Father O'Brien, Sean O'Brien, who happens to be my brother-in-law.
Yeah, how about that? I love it. Awesome.
Right now, here on the show, we have essentially a kindergarten reunion going on.
We do.
That's true. That is true. We all went to kindergarten together.
Yeah.
That was maybe the holiest kindergarten class in the history of all saints.
Wow.
I didn't want to bring it up out of my humility.
Out of your humility, so I did for you.
But in humility, I must also agree with you.
Hey, the truth. What should speak?
So, Father, you are an associate pastor at St. Anne's in Broken Arrow.
Yes, I am.
Why don't you give a brief synopsis of your nation when you were ordained and everything
Did
else?
Did you say your nation?
No, your ordination.
Ordination. Gotcha. Sorry.
All right. So, I guess I've been a priest now for a year and a half. It's been a year and a half. So, back in July of 16, I guess. And so, I guess I did one extra year of studies, and that was kind of in the moral theology round, focusing in bioethics. And then this summer, I came back to Broken Arrow, which is where the three of us are from. And I'm now at the neighboring parish, St. Anne's, as Adam had mentioned. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's cool. But that campus actually has the school that we were at, All Saints.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. That's where you're at.
I'm the chaplain of my own kindergarten. And my second grade teacher is still there, which I find to be like super awesome. She prepared me for First Communion.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
The other person we have in studio, I don't want to leave you guys hanging. Because
there's a couple teachers like
that are still there.
I know. I don't. You didn't have Mrs. Clendera?
I didn't have her, but she's still there.
She was my eighth grade teacher. Oh, she's still there.
Yeah, and that was like, what, 30 some odd years ago for you? Anyway, the other person
let me just say, when I was in eighth grade, she was celebrating her 20th year as a teacher.
Nice.
Okay.
An expert.
The
experience
other,
and expertise.
The other laugh that you teaching. Hear in the studio today is none other than the Juan Posada.
Juan Pablo Eslava Posada.
Yes.
Is this Slava? Is that right?
Posada Eslava.
Eslava?
Mm-hmm. Eslava.
Close enough.
What's that mean?
It's the last name.
It's a last name.
It's a last name.
You have two last names.
Yeah.
That's typical, though, in their culture. Dude, why don't you... You're still not cultured. You're not a cultured person.
That is true.
Hey, you could get a second last name, maybe. You can borrow mine. I like mine.
I like O'Brien, too. It's a good Irish name. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it logically makes no sense to have... it's like they can't both be last.
Except that it's awesome.
It is awesome. No, I agree. Like,
awesomeness has a lot of logic to it.
When we just said
that's why if I got a tattoo, it'd be awesome.
Yes.
I saw somebody, this is just like online, somebody got a tattoo on the bottom of their foot that said, made in the USA.
Oh, nice. My gosh. That reminds me, at summer camp, I would have like the kids like sign the bottom of my foot.
Really?
Yep. And I was not in parish, and the kid's like, "Hey, I remember you. I saw on the bottom of your foot." I was like, "Oh, yes, I guess that was me."
Yeah. I still haven't washed it. Look, your name's still here.
Oh, Johnny, there you are. Oh, you're doing smiley.
Yeah. I guess they were serious when they said permanent marker.
Okay, so we need to get going here.
I agree, because this beer looks fantastic.
If this is your first time listening, we do three things on the episode. This first segment, I'm just going to introduce the first thing that we do.
Let me just say this. If you want to know what the three things are, listen to another episode, okay? Because we do it every week.
Yeah, we do it every week. So, Father, we enjoy a beer or a whiskey every episode. This beer is brought to us by a Councilman member, a friend of ours from Phoenix, Arizona. We've actually highlighted his product in, I don't know, maybe the 20th episode? I don't know, something like that. It is Mr. Brad Kendricks. He is the...
Mr. Wallet Rosary.
Yes, the founder of Wallet Rosary. Go check it out, walletrosary.com. We met him over at the End of the Breach conference in person. And he provided us with this delicious stout beer that I'm excited to try. It is called... Black Coffee Whiskey Neat. So anyway, let's cheers and then we can talk about it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus and our mother.
Iubensium Jesu.
Iubensium Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, so
wow, the coffee really comes on there at the end. Coffee.
Yes.
In the right off the bat, I was like, you know, I don't really taste much coffee. And then it punched you
in the face.
Yeah. Oh, hello, coffee.
Okay, so Brad gave us the drinking, a little bit of background on the beer for us. Made our job super easy, Father. It's like, you talk about, like, not even have to do research, nothing. He gave it to us. So, it is one of his favorites. It's a significant number of small batch brews. So, very few of them are ever made. And it's using all ingredients sourced and inspired by the great state of Arizona. Shout out to all of our councilman members in Phoenix, Arizona. We have quite a few there and continually growing.
Yeah.
Let's see. It also means that this particular beer will likely never exist again.
Okay. Holy smokes.
So, it's called Black Coffee Whiskey Neat is a collaboration stout that was brewed by Arizona Wilderness using coffee beans from Exo Roast, company. And then it was aged in Whiskey Del Bac whiskey barrels from a Hampton Distillers.
I don't know what Del Bac is, but...
I'm not sure either. Anyway, he saved a can for himself so that way he could try it for the first and last time while we drink together. So, cheers to you, Mr. Brad, a.k.a. Wallet Rosary.
Why don't you give Brad a toast?
Okay. Cheers to you, Brad. May... your heart be infinitely lighter than this dark stout that we drink today. Love.
Nice. Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. To Brad.
To Brad.
All right.
But we often have a, like, oh, should we drink a whiskey or a beer today?
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of both.
Yeah. It's a very Catholic drink.
Yeah.
A both and.
Both and. Both and manliness.
Father, it's really fun to tell people about our show, and we obviously lead in with, here's the first thing that we do.
Right.
You know, and the idea of drinking these days, I think the American idea of drinking, you know, they go into these bars, these like little hole-in-the-wall, smoky, dark bars. Maybe there's a lot of provocative things going on or something like that. But we really are trying to cultivate more of the idea of almost like an English pub, more of like a... G.K. Chesterton, style, Tolkien style,
Lewis.
Yeah, where
the heroes,
yeah, where you know it's just a normal thing for a guy to go out and just have a beer with other men it cultivates this opportunity of discussion and a way of forging friendships that likely isn't able to happen without that atmosphere. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I think it's interesting that. Here in America, when you talk about drinking, it's all about, you know, they instantly think about drunk, provocative, people being wasted, sin. But that's just I think, because of our American culture today is that we're all about excessive behavior. not a very virtuous country, you know, and maybe 80 years ago in England, that's not the case.
Although I think the craft beer game
is changing.
Is kind of changing, especially for millennials.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they view drinking beer a lot differently, even from when we were in college.
Absolutely. And it's also become really almost a family activity. You know, I went to Missouri. I know this is weird. I know this sounds weird, but a lot of like families get together. So I went to Missouri. We were driving back from Branson, Missouri, and we decided to stop off at this brewery on the way back. And I was like, well, let's just swing in because I just wanted to grab a beer there that I hadn't tried before. I get there, and there's a whole group of men playing and women, all families, all playing kickball together.
Oh, no way.
And
at a brewery
in this field where they're all playing kickball. There's like a referee, there was a scoreboard. I mean, it was like legit. And then right beside it, there was this like small ultimate frisbee kind of thing going on.
Oh, man.
And it was all these kids, and it was a whole family thing. And it was at a brewery.
Wow.
Super cool.
My church needs to get a brewery then. Oh, yeah. St. Anne's Brewery.
Yeah.
Oh.
Talk about evangelization.
Yes.
Well, I can't figure out why St. Anne's, their RCIA class is full.
We brew.
We tried to get them, but they already had like 5,000.
Right. There's a waiting list.
We brewed the Immaculate.
Yes. That'd be a good name for a beer.
Yeah. Anyway, so thank you, Brad, for the beer.
Thanks, Brad.
That was awesome. It's delicious. We'll keep talking about it on the other side
so
of the break.
Good.
We're here with Father Sean O'Brien. I'm Adam Minahan with David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. Our guest today is Father Sean O'Brien, the Peanut Gallery, Monsignor, no, Senior Posada.
Not Mon. Juan.
Not Monsignor.
Just senior.
Senor.
Senor.
What does the Mon mean? What's that mean? Like, super senior?
I mean, it's my in French.
Oh, really?
It's like my lord.
Hmm.
Yes.
Oh.
And he has his Pints with Aquinas shirt on.
Yeah.
Pretty
That's
cool.
Just what happens when we have priests on the show. Like, actual knowledge is shared.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay, so the man gear for today.
Wait. I want to talk about the men's conference that we're going to this weekend. Oh, really nice. Fast.
Okay, yeah,
the
yeah,
Oklahoma
yeah.
Men's Conference.
Sure, yeah.
Are okay. you going, Father?
I'm not going. We got like a 3-hour conference here at our parish, so.
Oh,
I'm
man.
That one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to Norman this weekend. If you're listening right now, there's no more tickets available. However, they are taking 150 men at the door.
Oh, nice.
So
there's hope.
So there is a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. So get there early. It's in Norman, the Embassy Suites. Patrick Coffin will be there. Trent Horn's going to be there. Deacon Pollo's going to be there. They're going to have a big presentation on Father Stanley Rother.
Oh, super
which
cool.
Which will be super cool.
Sellout crowd.
And we'll be introducing Patrick.
Yeah, we're going to be on stage introducing Patrick, which is going to be awesome because he has no idea what we're going to say. And frankly,
we don't either.
So
I'm just going to make up a bunch of stuff
about
him.
Yeah, so it's so funny. They sent us like this bio. Here's the bio of Patrick Coffin. And like, yeah, we're not going to use that. Like, it gave us like 3 paragraphs.
He was born
yeah,
at this like, day.
Yeah.
At this place.
We're not going to use this at all.
Recent convert, Patrick Coffin.
Yeah. So anyway, we're really excited about that. You can go check out CatholicMen.net if you're around. I know that Christopher Ramsey's going to be there from Phoenix.
Like oh,
we
saw, sweet.
We, remember we met him at the end of the Breach Conference? He's the Council of Man member.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be there. I'm pumped to hang out with him again.
Right on.
So anyway, go check that out because it's going to be awesome. Let me tell you. Let me just tell you something. The Oklahoma Men's Conference.
Tell me.
They know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing this for 22 years. They know how to put on a men's conference.
I agree.
And it's a lot of fun. So if you have a chance, I know we have some listeners in North Texas. If you get a chance, hightail it up there. It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. This is the best reason I can think of to go to Norman.
I agree. There's like other reason to go to Norman.
Snap.
I mean,
You have an Oklahoma State sweatshirt on at the moment.
Right. I don't. You know what I don't own? An OU Sooners sweatshirt.
Yep.
Something I don't own.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I wanted to make sure to get that out because I thought about it really fast and I was like, ugh, I got to remember that. But you can jump into the man
gear. Okay,
now.
So the man gear for today is a wax seal. Do we agree that that's what they're called? Can we think of a better name for them?
It's actually I guess it would be the stamp.
Yeah, it's the stamping.
It depends on what you... I don't know. What is the man gear? You tell me. Is it the actual seal or is it the stamp?
Well, it's the stamp. The wax is not the man gear.
Is it the product or is it what
causes
it?
It's the thing. It's the thing that
you... What if you called it a press? A wax seal press.
Yeah, that's fine too. I like that too. It's, you know, you drip the wax on the envelope and then you take the thing and you stamp a sign, like your crest, into it. That's the man gear for today. So, if you remember, Father Krebcor, Father Stewart, he sent us a bottle of whiskey that he got
Jameson
in Ireland. Yeah,
at the distillery.
He sent us this super manly letter that said, "So like I hand carried this bottle across the Atlantic, and brought this to you. And if heaven has a smell, it smells like the Jameson Distillery."
Oh, yeah,
man. And he apparently has one of these wax things, seals, okay? And he sealed the envelope with it, and when I got it, I just thought, this is the manliest letter I've ever received. Hands down, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
And so, from then on, I've wanted to do this as a man gear.
I think it's a great man gear.
Yeah.
What do you think, Father?
I'm down. I'd get one, I guess.
Sure. One thing I'm not sure about is how practical it is, because...
You've never done that.
Well, I've never done it, and when you mail a letter... The letter goes through all kinds of machines that like bend the letter a lot.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure if the wax seal would survive. Like it might get broken.
Yeah. I do receive a troubled letter on occasion. It's like, oh, you've been through a hard time.
Yeah.
You've survived though.
Okay. I had to tell the quick story about letters. One time.
Oh no.
I won't get into the
backstory. Is this a true story that you made up?
No, this is a true story that actually happened. I was trying to get into doing some like creative marketing, and I was mailing a light switch cover to someone, okay? It's really cheesy. Doesn't matter why I was doing it, okay? I was mailing a light switch cover, and we mailed it like 200, 300. We mailed a lot, including a couple to ourselves, or one to ourselves.
Well, why not?
They were all showing up in the mail.
Wait, tell them the tagline.
It was like, for our business, are you ready for a switch? And their light switch covers.
You win some kind of award. I don't know what kind, though.
Okay, so it's like creative, cheesy marketing. Like, but
you nailed it.
But people would remember that. You know, they get a light switch cover in the mail, and it's like, are you ready for a switch? Like... They wouldn't, you don't forget that, okay? Well, really what they were getting was a bunch of like smashed up pieces of a light switch cover.
smashed up plastic is what they got because it all got broken.
Are you tired of your broken light switches?
It was not even recognizable as a light switch cover. It was just a bag.
Needless to say, it didn't work.
Imagine taking it and then just smashing it over and over with your foot. That's what we were mailing to people. Anyway, so I don't know if the wax seal would survive the machine. Whatever, it's a pretty intense machine. I had no idea until apparently the light switch incident of 2014. But anyway,
you guys had to file bankruptcy. It was a big ordeal.
All right, that part is made up. Okay.
But yeah, so the wax. But
if you're gonna be like delivering it. You know, if
hand deliver,
and I think maybe you could maybe test some more flexible wax.
Yeah,
you know, something that
the resins they have these days are very like hybrid resins where
if you got kind of like a plasticky almost. Or rubbery, then I'm sure that would survive. Yeah,
so the stamp has been around for a long time. These seals have been around since the very first civilization. FYI. Oh, wow. So
no kidding.
It's been around for a while.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. But it got really popular in the Middle Ages. They started using 2/3 beeswax, 1/3
resin.
Resin. Yeah. Thank you. And the reason why the Pope used to have them when he would make his seal, his mark,
So he would write a letter.
He'd write a letter and make his mark on it, but it would be from, what was it called? What did I call it? Bulla? Bulla, which was basically lead. And that's where...
That's what he would seal it with. The thing, at the time, the seal was called a bulla.
Right. And that's where it came from. That's what the word papal bulls come from.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's kind of cool.
A sealed document from the Pope.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? I'm convinced that everything is Catholic. Like,
well,
it's... Okay.
If God created it, yeah.
I mean, but like, you don't think... There's all kinds of stuff where... Like, just today, I was explaining to someone about how... You know, they're not Catholic, and I was telling them, like, Fat Tuesday, it's called Fat Tuesday because originally, you know, you wouldn't eat fat or, like, oil throughout all of Lent, and so people would get it all out of their house, so they would bake all this stuff that had fat in it. And so it's not called Fat Tuesday because you get fat,
mm-hmm.
It's because you're cooking all the fat in your house.
So you don't waste it.
Right, and so it's like, but there's all kinds of stuff like that, that the Catholic Church invented this holiday. Like, nobody knows... If you're not Catholic, people don't know that Halloween is a Catholic holiday. Yeah. Kind of, essentially. Stuff like that. Wax seals mm-hmm. have a part of Catholic history.
Yeah.
I mean, they affected cool. the bull, a papal bull.
Yeah, a lot of, like, in the Middle Ages when people were illiterate and they were trying to put contracts together or something like, you own this, you own this, we're going to swap this. Under certain agreements or something like that, you know, they didn't have a way of signing their name because they didn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but everybody basically had like some kind of family crest, some kind of symbol that represented this is me or this is my family. And so what they would do is they'd have some guy that was literate that would write up the contract. And what they would do is they'd hang pendants on the piece of paper with each family crest or each wax seal stamp.
It's like a piece of string.
Yeah, it's like tassel.
That they punched a hole in the bottom of the thing and tied the string onto, and then they would
say,
press the seal onto the string.
Yeah, and this is part of like the actual document.
Mm-hmm. And Juan brought up before over the break how in the parable of the prodigal son, you know, the son comes back and the dad says, put a ring on his finger, and that was because that symbolized the power authority of the house, that he could sign a document with the ring.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Never thought of that.
We're gonna get one for the Catholic Man Show.
Totally, because apparently
because we have a crest. We have like our logo is a crest.
We do, and they're not very expensive.
And it's super cool.
It is very cool. So we're gonna start doing it, and maybe you'll get a bunch of broken light switches in the mail. But we're gonna try.
But we're gonna try to do it.
We're gonna see what happens. But also,
it's a great evangelization. But are you ready to make a switch from this church to the Catholic Church?
Yes. There you go. But also, it's more than just like awesome manliness. It symbolizes authority. You know, which as men, we are that same symbol of our house. And Father, you, like the church, you have a big house. Your house is bigger than mine.
What would what would I stamp into my wax then?
I don't, what is your like motto?
Be just a crucifix.
My motto.
Do you have a priestly motto or something?
I don't.
Do priests do that?
Sometimes, yeah. Some
I'm running out of time to think of one.
Oh man. Yeah. Just right. Say something in Latin. No one will know.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Oh, no. So when we get back, we're going to talk about tattoos. Stamp, markings, tattoos.
Yeah. Are you going to hell if you have a tattoo?
Good question, Dave.
That's we're going to answer this question definitively.
Oh man. Pressure's on.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So lift your glass.
Raise your glass. Welcome back. You, the listener, right now, welcome back. We appreciate you sticking through the break, skipping that first 15 seconds of the podcast, whichever it is. We're drinking coffee black whiskey neat, brought to you by
Tasty.
Brad Kendricks, the man. Go check out walletrosary.com. Go check that out. It's really cool. Good way to be able to pray the rosary anywhere. Just you slide it into your wallet. Boom, you got a rosary.
So they have a new one. New wallet rosary now.
Yeah, the Celtic.
And Brad gave us one. And I don't know if he's aware of this, but there could be like an RFID blocking element to the wallet rosary, because this is what happened. We had it for a hotel. Mm-hmm. It was just a card that you would wave, like put it close to the door, mm-hmm. and it would sense the card and open. I just had it in my wallet, and I would hold my wallet up to the sensor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then I put the wallet rosary in, stopped working.
Because it's like stainless steel. It's stainless, so it's like...
So anyway, it was blocking the signal of the key card.
It's that hardcore.
Yeah, so nice. It could also like defend your wallet from people trying to scan your credit cards.
Boom.
I'm just throwing that out there as a possible benefit. So Brad, maybe test it.
Yeah.
Extra selling point.
There you go. Try it out.
Mary,
you're welcome.
Mary will protect your bank account.
We do want a royalty of that. If that works. Well, we do want a royalty.
Why not?
Yeah.
Wasn't your idea, bro.
It's the Catholic Man Show idea.
That was my idea.
I was on the episode.
So we're here with Father Sean O'Brien. Father Sean is a associate pastor here in Broken Arrow. Also the brother-in-law of David Niles.
Right. Okay, so we were recently on a road trip. Where were we going?
Colorado.
Yep. And so Father Sean had just finished his thesis for seminary, right?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Okay, something like that. You had written a thesis.
It was an advanced degree.
On body...
Don't shortchange him, man.
Body modifications. Yeah, well...
You're shortchanging him.
It's good.
Did I? Did I say it wrong?
It's kind of hard to explain. It's fine. We're good.
Is it for your license degree?
It was a license degree.
Yeah.
What's that? It's like a master's, we'll say.
Isn't it a little bit higher?
Some people say that.
I think it is.
I haven't measured them.
Yeah, it is. It's like, okay, no one says anything about like priest, Monsignor. Is Monsignor a little higher?
It's a license to teach. Like, that's why they say that.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Cool. Boom.
Boom shakalaka.
So anyway, you wrote your thesis for your license degree on... body modification.
Yeah.
In general.
When freely chosen.
And optional. When I read it, it was like, yes, this is exactly the way I have been, like, deep down in my heart, this is how I felt. And I just couldn't say it. And so I wanted you to come on and talk about...
Sure.
About tattoos with us. Because it's kind of a hard thing to talk about. So
people are very emotional about this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I get a tattoo, it's like, am I going to hell? Mm-hmm. That's what Juan is. That's what he's thinking here.
Yeah, and so at the end of this episode, you guys got to stick around for the end of the episode because Father Sean has never seen Juan's tattoo. We're going to let on air Juan show Father Sean his tattoo, and Father Sean is going to say whether or not Juan's going to go to hell for the tattoo.
This is a Catholic first. Wow.
Declaration at hand. I'll stay tuned.
So stick around. So
that's right.
It's going to get heavy. Yeah.
All right. Go get another beer if you need one.
Yeah.
So what kind of prompted my discussion on this was, is a tattoo a mutilation? Like, there was the question. And I got to thinking, and it's like, well, what is a mutilation? It's something that, like, violates the function of the body. It can't work, can't operate normally. And I was like, well, let me look around. I don't think so. I haven't heard of anyone... dying of getting a tattoo. I haven't heard of that plague or disease or whatever it is.
Right.
They're using an HIV infected needle.
Well, don't do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be a bad way. That.
Yeah, that's not the tattoo. That's the sharing needle problem.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, so you know what? Maybe it's not a mutilation that way. But thinking of like, what is the function of the body, the purpose of the body? Why in the world did God give us a body? And who do we know who didn't have a body? Like a besides God, obviously, but like our guardian angels.
Mm, yeah.
Like, you know, I've heard of people like getting to know their name somehow. I haven't. Like, I don't, I know I got one. My gosh. Like, I got one. And that's awesome. But I don't know anything about it. I don't know if there's a personality other than its personhood. I don't know anything. There's no form of revelation there.
Right.
Because for human beings, the revelation happens through the body. That's part of the function of the body. And I think that wisdom comes from John Paul II in his kind of talk on the theology of the body. Like, yep, the body is a source of revelation of a person's personhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is kind of where we make some headroad, get a little ground with tattoos. Because now it's like, well, if I got this tattoo, am I able to reveal myself to the world as... I truly am, or am I just destroying that ability?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I don't have a tattoo, I can go to work and I'm fine. Like, I'm normal. Like, I can hear people's confession. I can preach at mass, all this kind of stuff. But if all of a sudden I have, like, a dragon streaking across my face as a tattoo, it's like, oh, Father, bless me, for I've sinned. You have a tattoo on your face that's a dragon that's roaring at me. It's like, okay. So, in that case,
doesn't really scream mercy.
Not a lot of mercy.
Yeah.
And I can't reveal, like, let alone God's mercy,
and
but like
fire and brimstone.
I can't even like have a discussion with people because they're like, you have a dragon on your face.
That's yeah. Weird. So that's a good point that, you know, they say when you meet somebody within like 3 seconds, they've already decided most of how they're going to feel about you. Just based on that first encounter.
Yeah, and so the initial feel there.
And that's part of our nature. Basically God made us that way.
Yeah.
That we would, you know, encounter the body. Here I am encountering your body. And based on that, I now have formed an opinion about you. It could be wrong and you can change that opinion, but that's not easy to do necessarily. So,
why they always talk about first impressions.
Yeah. So like a face tattoo.
Yeah.
That's going to really impact your every relationship that you have.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's not like you can be like, oh hi, how are you doing today? It's like,
that's very distracting.
Please look at me. Yeah. Don't look to the side like you're pretending you didn't notice my tattoo on my face.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I mean I got a relative. He's got a tattoo on his face he had years ago. And now that he's married, has a couple kids, and he's trying to get a job, it's like it's hard to get a job because it affects the ability to get his work. So people are like, yeah, I don't really want to hire you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't talk with people normally.
But he's a very nice guy.
You met him. Like
even a pastor, or a preacher for a while. Yeah. And you know, like,
okay, but the face tattoo example is kind of the extreme.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
It makes a good example for that
it's
reason.
It's a good example because it's the extreme, but let's talk about maybe, the guy who has, because there's a lot of guys who maybe have the St. Michael the Archangel on their shoulder.
Okay. Well, wait. Before we go there.
Oh.
Before we, I let's cover some more generals before we cover specifics.
Fair enough.
Because, Sean, like your thesis, it wasn't just about tattoos. It was about all types of body alterations.
So like piercings.
So would you cover like the generals about, here's the general guidelines, regardless if it's a tattoo, if it's having a boob job, I mean, whatever it is. Here are the guidelines to decide whether this is a morally appropriate action.
Yep. So I kind of looked at it all, and it seems like everything is focusing on identity. Like, this is who I am, and I'm doing this change to my body to kind of adapt, fulfill, change my identity. And so it was very much identity focused. And so my thought was like, well, let's propose a virtue, the virtue of an identity. And that's, for me at least, I thought that authenticity fit super well, super well. So what does it mean for us to be authentic? It means that we have a past, like we got a history, like we came from God. We have parents. We have our relationships. We have a body that we have been given to us as a gift. And then on the flip side, too, we have a destination. We're all on this path towards heaven. And there are many paths on this, and you can go left and you go right. Turns out going straight is the one to Mount Zion, the mountain of God, you know, heaven. So, like, authenticity is receiving who we are from our past, receiving our future destination, and knowing it, accepting it, and moving forward with it. That's authenticity. And I think that really relates in with tattoos because, you know, sometimes, like, you got your mom and dad. That's part of who you are. You are their son. You're a son of God, most definitely, but you're their son. And if your mom doesn't like a tattoo, then like getting a little bitty itty thing done somewhere, well, like, are you really willing to prefer your tattoo over your mom's relationship? Like, well, I want to ask that question there.
That is a good question to ask.
Do you want to be authentic or not? Do you want to have a relationship with a mother or not?
Like, uh-huh.
Like, just kind of weighing those values there. And it seems pretty clear that, like, family's more important than having a cool tattoo or whatever kind of tattoo.
Right. And it seemed like a lot of the things that you you kind of said, well, some of it depends on your motivation. Like, are you doing it?
Motivation's key.
Is this a pride? You know, like, okay, let's just use having a boob job. There are a lot of prideful, vain reasons to have that procedure done. Maybe, and there's a couple, there are many, many, many fewer, like, really legitimate reasons to have it done, based on kind of the principles that you laid out. And the same would apply to the tattoo, which
we will
continue on the other side of the break.
Key,
yeah,
for sure. See you on the other side.
Yeah. And once again, stick around.
Yeah, because we're going to find out if Juan's going to hell. That'll be intense.
Hang in there, Juan.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Yeah. David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, joined by Father Sean O'Brien and Mr. Juan Posada in the peanut gallery, who is sweating bullets. He is nervous.
Salvation's on the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'll bet you are regretting coming tonight.
People are probably taking bets out there, man.
Yeah.
I hope there's some people not going
to
go broke.
He's having the Camino over to the Minahan house, not realizing that his salvation was going to be on the line tonight.
Whew. Doggies. You just never know the day or the hour, my friend. Anyway, we're talking about tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a controversial topic. Father Sean, I'm just going to throw it over to you.
Yeah, I guess we kind of concluded the last segment with motivation. Like, let's talk about that. Like, why does a person get a tattoo? I think that's super key. So if it doesn't, like, violate some kind of, like, keystone relationship for you, then let's take the next step and, like, well, why are you getting it? Are you getting it just, like, to be cool, or you know, you might have it as like your a wax seal on you, like stamped by God, and so you do get that Saint Michael the Archangel tattoo on your bicep or something like that. Like, you know, that might be okay, might be fitting, might be an act of religion even. The Bible doesn't talk about tattoos at all, except in one place back in the Old Testament, in the somewhere in the Law, probably Leviticus. It's like, thou shalt not get a tattoo. It's like, oh, maybe we should be talking about this.
It does. It says,
yeah,
it's in there, huh?
It's in there. But like all the scripture people are like, oh yeah, it's like a bunch of these other commandments kind of grouped in here. It's like the people over there get a tattoo because that was like their stamp of ownership by their God.
Their pagan God.
Their pagan God. So oh, their so tattoo like
a,
was like,
is a pagan.
I own you kind of a tattoo.
It was like an act of worship almost, yeah, of right? an other God. Yep. Okay.
But I mean, we could kind of use that, like, as Christians. I mean, I have not done that, but I mean, I sympathize very much with people with tattoos, and you know, they got just kind of something tasteful, you know, they got like a saint or you know, Sacred Heart of Jesus or Our Lady, mm-hmm. Our Blessed Queen, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like to have her close, my gosh.
Yeah,
so I guess so the content of the tattoo is important, because even though you're not getting like a pagan god, you still could be, you know, what are you worshiping?
Well, yeah.
With the tattoo. I mean, like, if you get, like, a naked chick on your tattoo.
Naked chick, like, or, like, a demon, or,
you,
like...
Right.
Yeah.
You are, in a sense, worshiping at the throne of lust.
Right.
You know, or at the altar of lust, if that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Or even, like, someone's name, you know, there's always that kind of, that joke where, like, oh, yeah, Susie with a heart inside of this little heart tattoo,
and yeah,
right,
crossed
and
out,
then, like, crossed out, yeah, with like Rosie, yeah, and then crossed out again with like Jen. It's like, oh no,
yeah.
There's been a progression. Yeah. So a little thought might be required, but yeah, like yeah, so something that's not wrong in its content.
Well, I mean, that would go against, like, we're talking about virtue all the time on the show. We've talked about a little bit about the virtue of decorum, which is, mm-hmm, you know, which was what you were talking about, like, what is the function of the body? It's proper play, yeah, what it's proper to.
How do we present it?
Mm-hmm. Present
the revelation,
it.
Revelation, so, of ourself.
You have to, I think, if you were authentic going to get one, a tattoo, or if you have a tattoo, I guess, you know, the thought is how is this representing? Is this going to be a distraction? Is this going to be something that isn't represented by the church or, you know, as who I am? I know a lot of guys that got a tattoo in college that I guarantee you they regret at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think you have to talk and you have to think about the virtue of modesty, mm-hmm. which is sub virtue, which it would be decorum, which would be, you know, you can't be getting naked pictures of girls on your arm, or it would, maybe it's not prudent to get, you know, some kind of a gang tattoo, you know, something, yeah. you know, something like that. That would be something that would be breaking the virtue of
probably well, something is evil. It's like, oh yes, do what is good and avoid what is evil.
Kind of right, the right. I can't. I put it on myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, let's make this evil permanent on me. It's like, no, friend.
And also vanity, I think, is that's a big issue one. Here.
Yeah.
You
know, I agree.
Are you getting this tattoo because you think it'll be awesome?
You want to show it off?
Or are you getting this tattoo out of like devotion to, you know, because you have a devotion to Our Lady or, you know, to give glory to God? Some people would say, there's the argument that, look, God made your bodies perfect, okay? You cannot improve upon them. All you're doing is like putting a bumper sticker on a Ferrari. You know, you're not adding to the beauty of the Ferrari by putting a bumper sticker on it. That is an argument that many people will make.
Yeah.
But do you think, Father, do you think your conclusion, because you wrote a paper about this, so you gave a lot of thought. That's not necessarily always the case, is that...
I would say, you know, the body is like a serious thing. The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul mm-hmm. tells us. And mm-hmm. so it's like serious. And like, if we're thinking about doing something permanent to our body that's not necessary, like we just got to give it some thought. We got to make sure we're not doing it to be a rebel, to be cool, to be, you know, all these different things, especially to be evil, making that kind of a permanent thing. But in and of itself, like it's not an evil thing. It's very, very contextualized. You know, we were talking a minute ago, kind of off the air, about like these, let's say like a Pacific Islander, and like, there they go. That's like a people of tattoos. I think I really don't know anything about these people, but that's what's in Moana and all the movies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but there they are, and they got like the tattoos, and it's like, oh yeah, if you're a person of this culture, you get a tattoo. And it's just not complicated. And like, are they like ruining their bodies? I don't think that's the nature of what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, I think that's important. That's an important point, because modesty in general is dictated by the culture. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a just quick story. A guy went down to some tribe, you know, it's like one of those Aborigine tribes, people, the quote, the proverbial Aborigine tribe. This is a true story though. And it's one of the tribes where the women don't wear shirts. Okay. And so he went and evangelized them and they became Christian, and the bishop was coming to visit them. It was this big deal. And so he got all the women shirts to wear and went, because of like kind of a trip to get back, you know, go pick up the bishop and bring him into the village. When they got back, the women had all cut holes in their shirts at their breasts so that they could feed their babies. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand why I have this shirt on. It's terribly unpractical, mm-hmm. impractical. And so... Mm-hmm. It's just funny to them. They're not being immodest. That's just their culture. So modesty is dictated by the culture. Yeah. So if you live in a come of a place where tattoos are a cultural thing, and in fact, I believe there are some cultures where you get a tattoo as like a rite of passage. You know, it's almost like a symbol of you have now reached manhood, and so that's obviously got to be viewed differently from somebody who, you know, gets like. Barbed wire fence around their bicep, you know? Don't you think?
That was an interesting fad in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. The barbed wire?
Yeah. That was an interesting fad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't really see it as much anymore.
Mm-mm.
Once again, it's not like evil.
No, it was just an interesting fad. Like, I wonder who thought of that. Like, you know, it'd be cool.
Check out that barbed wire fence mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
I'd wrap it around my bicep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was interesting.
I wonder if there was a guy who actually had barbed wire around his arm, and
I don't know.
That would be manly.
So, Father, let me ask you this. So, let's say there's a guy listening right now. He's like, "Yeah, I, you know, I wasn't in the church. I did a lot of silly, dumb things. I regret maybe even some of the things that I got on my, you know, a tattoo or a piercing or, you know, something, some kind of change." What would the church say, like, now that they've been received into the church, like, would the church require them to take that off or change it, or what are your thoughts there?
God loves you as you are right now. You know, we make bad decisions in the past, and sometimes we're like, ah, dang it, why'd I do that? But, you know, God loves you right now, and it's key for us to be authentic. Like, yep, I am coming from this family. I have this group of friends. I had those group of friends. We made some decisions together that were not so good. And to, like, just recognize that, like, doggone it, I'm a sinner, and here I am. But today, I'm not going to make bad decisions. I'm not going to sin. I'm going to live for my Lord, seek His glory. And I don't think it's, like, a necessary thing to kind of go back. For one thing, it's, like, costly. I mean, that's if it was, like, something that was not permanent, and you just kind of wipe it off with a little soap and water. It's like, well, yeah, okay, wipe that off with a little soap and
wash
water.
Wash it off.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not the nature but it's of
like,
a tattoo.
It's kind of like a vasectomy, right? Like, after, if you have one, then you repent, and the church does not require you to reverse that procedure.
Yeah, I guess it would be very parallel to that. Yeah. Just like, there it is. It's just follow the Lord now the best you can, and go forward in faith, hope, and love.
So if you're pondering a tattoo, think about, what is your motivation? Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for devotional reasons? And where are you getting it? Don't get a face tattoo. The nature of the face is not to be tattooed, okay?
Yeah, right, pretty much.
And that's very Thomistic.
Yes.
Yeah. But he talks about that extensively.
We need to get the judgment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On the tattoo.
Here's Juan.
Okay.
Okay, so Juan just unfortunately pulled his shirt off in front of everybody.
He has a sea turtle on his right shoulder blade.
It's a sea turtle.
And it's not full... Wait, hold on. It's not like all the way filled in. It's like, it's kind of designed.
It's got some kind of a pattern. There's like there's a star.
A sea star?
Sea star there.
Okay, it has a sea star on the shell. Okay, so... is Juan damned for all eternity?
Adios, Juan! Oh, no! No, maybe not. It speaks of something that maybe was going on. I don't know. It just speaks of a lot of symbolism and of meaning. It's on a back shoulder. It is not super, you know, public. It's not like people are like, I can't relate to you at all. Like, who the heck are you?
Yeah, turtles are not like...
No.
They're not mean.
No.
Turtles are pretty nice.
Snapping turtles, please, God!
It's true. Snapping turtles. Don't mess. If you guys ever been to Oklahoma,
don't mess with those.
Don't mess with those, okay?
Don't hit your face.
Father Sean, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Oh my gosh, loved it so much.
It's been a lot of fun.
You guys.
More than the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Iubensium Jesu.